could not hold.
Death could not hold you. You are victorious. Praise to the risen King. Death could not hold you. You are victorious.
Filled on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness, the sure foundation. Hallelujah. And he that believeth in you will not be confounded. We bless you tonight for the opportunity that we have to fellowship with you, to worship you, to honor you, to fellowship one with the other, Lord God, to come together to share in worship and to be in your presence and to hear your word, Lord God. Father, bless us and instruct our hearts. Instruct us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to hear the wisdom of God, to guide our lives. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He that follows you will never walk in darkness. We bless you, Lord God, that in you is life, and life is the light of men. This light that lights all men that comes into the world. We honor you today. We give you glory and praise. We thank you for each other. We thank you for the moment that we have. We thank you for life and strength and fellowship and all things that are good. We bless you tonight. We give you honor and glory and praise. You're a good God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Say hello to somebody. Give them a hug and welcome them to church. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Nice to see you this Sunday evening. Amen. If you're here for the first time, we welcome you. If you come back to visit us, we welcome you. If this is your home, welcome home. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we'll just read from the Word of God. And Are you okay? You're allowed to go to sleep. Just don't snore and wake up the others. All right? And if I come and wake you up, don't be surprised. Now, concerning the things which you wrote to me, of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. If you're a man, he's sitting beside a woman, can he touch them? Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. All right? You don't share husbands and you don't share wives. You have your own, okay? Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer. It's great to fast and pray, all right, as a husband and wife. Are you okay? And come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment, for I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, then let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now to the married, I command, yet not I but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. Some of those things we have talked about in the last few Sundays. All right. If you want to sit, if you want to sit, you're allowed to sit. If you want to stand up, you're very welcome, but I'm going to sit down. Are you okay? Hallelujah. We shared about singleness a little bit, and I trust that has been of help to some of you who are single. Now, many people are single because they either divorced, separated, or they just have not been married. Some of them are single because they are widowed. The love of their life has gone home to be with the Lord. So people are single for very many reasons. And we talk a little bit about singleness, and I trust that was good. Was it good? If you want a drink, you can't share my drink. You could go find your own. Hallelujah. And we said that before you get married, you have to be single. And many people are not single. They are unmarried, but they're still not single. All right? And many people get married because they want to solve the problem of loneliness. Loneliness is a terrible thing. You can be single and not be lonely. On the other hand, you can be married and lonely. So just because you're married does not mean that you're not lonely. Loneliness, some married people are absolutely lonely, even though they're married. So don't marry somebody just to be a cure for loneliness. Are you okay? Because when you want to cure loneliness, it's a temporary problem. But you want to cure them, the cure this temporary problem, by getting married and creating a long-time problem. So you want to cure a temporary difficulty and get yourself miserable for the rest of your life. Never get married because you're lonely. Now, you can be alone and not be lonely. In fact, many great leaders love to be alone. And that's why sometimes if you're a leader, it can be quite terrible, because you feel
You can be alone and you like your own company. That means you don't need anybody else to encourage you. Are you all right? And great people that are absolutely single and understand what singleness is, can be, they just love their own company. They can be by themselves for days on end, and they don't look for somebody else. I mean, they can be alone and not lonely. Are you okay? So it's a terrible thing when you're lonely and then you rush off and try to cure this loneliness by trying to find some companionship. And then find that the person that you think will solve your problem actually is demon possessed. And now you've got a greater problem because you are not satisfied with the fact that you can be alone. Hallelujah. And you try to solve your loneliness and marry a demon. Are you okay? Say amen. Many people, my wife asked a question, what is being single? Being single is being aware of who you are. Self-awareness. You know who you are. Some people want to get married because they're running away from themselves. They don't know who they are. And if you don't know who you are, how can you know the other person when you don't know who you are and you don't know them? You're saying, I do, and you don't know who you are that says, I do, let alone the one that you say, I do too. Are you all right? Are you out there? When you are aware, when you know who you are, when you know what it is to be alone, hallelujah, it's very easy to understand who God is. You don't have a second-hand relationship with God. You and your own can relate to God. And you are satisfied with that. Hallelujah. You understand who you are. You are aware of who you are. And when you are aware of who you are, you have great self-esteem. Why? You know who you are. I know who I am. And you're not intimidated by other people's talents, giftings, looks, anointings, or ministry. You're not. One of my boys asked me the other day, he said, Dad, you speak everywhere and you speak to some people who are more educated than you. Do you feel intimidated? I said, well, not really. Because when I'm on the stage, it's God puts the limelight on me. And I am representing Him. And I don't care who sits in the audience, I will preach to them. I will speak to them. And you can't do that unless you know who you are. You know, in psychology, people are trying to find out who they are. And then you dig up and you dig up and you dig up and you try to find out who you are. And at the end of 6 months, you're still confused. Because you don't know who you are. I know who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Are you all right? And when you are aware of who you are aware of your own God, what God has done in your life, You understand your giftings and you understand your limitations. You don't carry baggages that a lot of people carry because you have tremendous self-awareness and self-discovery. Whether you're Maori or Pakeha, Rarotongan, Tongan, or Korean, you're good. Hallelujah. Are you okay? And you have those three things that we talked about. Hallelujah. You have security. You have identity. And you have self-worth. You are self-aware. You know who you are. You're not less than anybody else. You're no greater than anybody else. You just know who you are. And when that happens, you are truly single. And when you get married, you are an asset to the life of another person. When you don't know who you are, you're going to try and suck the life out of the other person to give you self-awareness and self-security and self-identity and self-worth. Are you okay? Is that fair? Hallelujah. So, never get married because you're lonely. Be aware of who you are. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Say amen.
Amen.
So, single people, when you're truly single, you must learn, first of all, to date yourself. If you don't know how to date yourself, you don't know how to date somebody else. Are you all right? Say amen.
Amen.
It lets you see who you are and lets you see what will fit your life. What is your sweet spot? What has God done in your life? One of the things I had to grapple with, and it was not, I take over from a movement that was led a particular way, because the man that led that movement had particular giftings. Now, a lot of people wanted me to lead the same way. I said, I can't. They said, why? I said, I'm not him, and I don't want a sex change. Are you all right? I had a friend who's always copying other people. Now, let me explain what I just said, because some of you don't understand what I just said. Even though you understand what I just said, I'll just explain it, all right? I had a friend in ministry, and when he goes to a conference, he comes back changed. He copies what he hears in the conference. Go to another conference, he comes back changed. And he's constantly changing his ministry to whoever he listens to. And the next book he reads, he will change everything just because he heard something. And he's always copying somebody else. Now, I don't think it's wrong to imitate those that imitate God. Paul said, copy me as I copy Jesus. Mimic what I do as I mimic what Jesus does. Imitate me as I imitate Jesus. And one day I said to the Lord, he's constantly changing and the church gets confused. I said, what's wrong with that? And God, if this is what God said to me. Now, I put it to you, this is what God said to me. Now, he may not say that to you. And God said, he doesn't like what I've given to him. That's self-awareness. He doesn't like what I've given to him, so he takes from everybody else and throws away the essence of who he is, his anointing and his gifting. And then God said, it's like a person having a sex change. He doesn't like what I make them, so he tries to copy somebody else. And when he said that, I was brushing my teeth. I just what? See, self-awareness, You are satisfied with what God has done. And God will keep on creating you. God has not finished creating you. Amen. But God has given you particular giftings and limitations. You can't be somebody else. You can just be yourself. I can't be a Pākehā. I'm satisfied being a Samoan. I'm happy in my skin. I had to learn your language. It's a terrible language. Because it's a bastard language. It borrows from everything else. Even your word tattoo. That tattoo is not an English word. It's a Samoan word. You borrowed from my language. What was that?
It's sharing.
It's sharing. But I had to learn this language. And it's a terrible language to learn. Because, you know, the past, present, past, present, and whatever. Participles and things like that. And prepositions and nouns and verbs and adjectives and adverbs and pronouns. And just say something. And then I had to learn all this, and I came here and realized that you guys can't even talk English. Your grammar is bad. I hate bad grammar. Why? I had to learn it. And I especially dislike it when I use bad grammar. I mean, your language is the only language you chop down a tree and then you chop it up again. How can you chop up the blinking thing? You just chopped it down. Hallelujah. You don't say knife or knock. Why did you put K in the front? Just make things easy for people like me. Hallelujah. And then you say telephone and shepherd. You didn't get that. That's how bad your English is. Telephone, PH, shepherd. It should be shepherd. And then you say rough and thorough. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Are you all right? Good. Now, if you don't know, if you don't know who you are, you don't know what makes you tick, you don't know your own sweet spot, when you go looking for a husband, it's no better than looking for a dress. You go in, the lady comes along and says, "Can I help you?" You say, "No." You know what you want? You say, "No." "What about this color?" You say, "No." And then she forces you to say, "Oh, well, this color looks nice on you." And say, "Okay." Don't ever choose a husband like that. But you will choose a husband that way if you have no self-awareness. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now, one of the things that happens sometimes is only God can look inside. And one of the things you need to be aware of, you need to try and discern what people are inside. Because what you see outside may look very, very nice. And then you marry them, and you realize after you get married that it was just the suit outside that you saw. What was inside was rotten. Are you all right?
You should see your face. Very true. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Now, one of the fallacies about marriage is that people think that when they get married, everything's going to be hunky-dory. They will have enough finances because they're not going to have two incomes and everything's going to be sweet. Wrong. They think that when you get married, he's a nice guy or she's a nice lady and everything's going to be hunky-dory. You're going to... The trouble is, every love story you look at has a nice ending, but they don't tell you what happens after that. Say amen. Hallelujah. Now, we said a few years ago, when you get married, you must choose well. Because it's no good after 3 weeks and say, I've changed my mind. Hallelujah. This is not a pair of shoes. All right. So, very basic. We said, find a Christian. Same faith. All right. Same vision. And deal with the cultural issue. Now, just because somebody is a Christian, you're going to marry another Christian, does not mean that you are now going to be equally yoked. It's not. If you grew up in a lovely home and everything's lovely, to you, that's normal. That's your sweet spot. That's what you're looking for to happen in a marriage. But if you live in a family where there's violence, to you, the violence is normal. So it's not normal unless there's arguments. It's not normal unless you're throwing things around. So you come in to create your normal, and he comes in to create his normal, and you're trying to be at peace and find out he's always picking a fight because fighting to him is normal. So you want a nice, quiet marriage, but he wants a very noisy, aggressive, contentious marriage. This is normal for you because of what you've seen in your mom and dad, but this is normal for him. It's not normal unless there's an argument. And you're trying then to marry these two. And even though you both belong to Jesus now, you're still unequally yoked. Why? Because your vision and your desires are not the same. Now, if you're a Christian, he's a Christian, he wants to go to the mission field, and you want to stay behind, you're going to have a conflict. Why? Because to him, his vision is the mission field. To you, your vision is having babies and staying home. So right there, you have a difficulty. So find somebody that has the same faith as you. Find somebody that has the same vision as you. Now, what happens a lot of times when families don't have the same vision? One vision will have to die. You will have to bow your heart to the vision of your husband, or your husband has to bow his heart to the vision of his wife. After all, every vision has to go through a death. And it might as well be yours. Why? Because when it gets resurrected, God resurrects only the thing that God wants to resurrect. Are you all right? So first of all, find somebody that has the same faith. The Bible, God is not angry at you, but God is wiser than you. Now, this is a statement that we said last week, and it's probably very contentious, because the basis of a good marriage is not love. If you don't believe me, find somebody who's divorced and ask them, were you in love when you got married? Absolutely. When you swore and made a covenant at the altar that until death do you part, did you mean it? Absolutely. What happened? So something has come into the covenant that was stronger than your love. Now, that doesn't mean love is not there. Love is, that does not mean that you throw love away. You might as well marry somebody that you love. But love is not the foundation of a marriage that's going to be good and it's going to work. The Bible says, by wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, the house is established. By knowledge, the house is filled. You can be in love and not have wisdom. And if you don't have wisdom, you haven't got the capacity and the capability to build a marriage. Because your love will not last. But when you have wisdom, your love will last. It's very quiet in this graveyard. Are you all right? Hallelujah. So, have a look at Proverbs 24. Is this all right? Okay, verse 3 and verse 4. By wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Have a look at Proverbs 3. And verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and the clouds dropped down the dew. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. The Bible says, get wisdom. And if it costs you everything in your house, get understanding. Get wisdom. And if it costs you every dollar you've got and everything in your house, get understanding. It says, get wisdom, never sell it. When you have wisdom, when you have understanding, when you have knowledge, the love in your marriage will never fade. But if you have love with no wisdom, what you said at the altar will not last. Are you okay? Say amen. Are you all right? Now, you know, God's wisdom is an amazing thing. You know what the Bible says? It's better to give. It says, the day of one's death is better than the day of your... Now, that seems to be back to front to us. It's better to go to a house of the dead mourning than to go to a party. And yet, many young people would rather go to a party and forget the funeral unless they know the person. Let me tell you something. If you can take time off work to get to a funeral, every time we have a funeral, come to the funeral. It is better to come to the funeral than to go to your party every Friday night. That's wisdom. Hello? It's better to go to a house of mourning. It's better to go to a tangi. That's wisdom. It says, because the living will see and take it to heart. What is that? You're not here forever. And like we said a little while ago, when you are young, when you're 30 or under, you think you are bulletproof. You're not bulletproof, you're just silly. When you're 50 and over, the only thing you think about is how long have I got left. What was that? Hallelujah. Hosea. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of love. Because you have rejected love. Hello? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, the word there, knowledge, encompasses those three principles we talked about. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And your marriage will be destroyed for lack of knowledge. It will not be destroyed for lack of love. Even people that are divorced still love their spouses. But the love is not enough to put the thing back together. It's knowledge. Now, this is the amazing thing. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Now that's, hello? That child that you love so much, that you can do anything for them. You know what? God will reject the kid because of you. God will reject you from being a priest to offer him sacrifices of praise. And God will reject the kid because you lack knowledge. Not because you lack love. And I think the devil has been far too successful. What do you think? Are you okay? You know, God's desire is to build a family, your family, from one generation to another generation to another generation. Hallelujah. God has a multi-generational blessing for everyone here. But if you reject knowledge of God and don't build your family well, are you okay? Hallelujah. I've got somebody who's very, very close to me. And he's Samoan. His wife's European. His wife said to me the other day, said, we're going to go to Samoa to live. I said, don't. They don't. Why? Because their marriage won't survive. It survives here. Because he has submitted his culture and lived in the culture of his wife. If they go to Samoa, she's going to have to reverse that. And I don't think she's got the strength to do the reversal. Are you okay? You know what that is called? It's not because they don't love each other. They just love each other to bits. But their love will not cause their marriage to survive. And I said, don't go. Why? It's called wisdom. Now, just because two people from, just because two people from the same culture get married does not mean you have the same culture. Two Europeans marrying each other does not mean that you both have the same culture. You come from different families and you come from two different cultures. Your norm and his norm may be two totally different things. Are you all right? Amen. So, choose well. The Bible says, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And he obtains the favor of the Lord. That means when a young man whose heart is towards God is on pursuit of somebody to marry, God will help you to find that person. The Bible says, land are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. A prudent wife is given by God. And God will help you find the right person that suits you so that you can live in quietness and hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, men lift up holy hands without doubt and fear so that you can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good in the sight of God our Savior. Hallelujah. Who desires all men to be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. Now, what happened if you married the wrong person? How many know it's very difficult to take a turn off after you've passed the turn off? I remember one time I was driving to Lyle Bay, my wife and I. And there is only one route to Lyle Bay that I know. I did not know Wellington very much at that time. So we were driving down, not on the motorway, but on that, if you come down from up the... And we were driving down there, three lanes. And God said to me, get to the left lane. And this is my thing. Said, what for? There's only us, only one car, and there's nobody else. I mean, there are three lanes. And God said, get to the left lane. I said, what for? I looked up there. I look at the rearview mirror. I look at the side. There's no cars behind, no cars in the front. Third time, God said, get to the left lane. I said, what for? Then I passed the only turnoff I know to get to Lyle Bay. And I said to myself, you idiot! And I found myself lost in the middle of the city. Some people, it's difficult to teach. But thank God my wife was there. I said to her, I can get lost anywhere so long as you're with me. And I remember one time we were at a conference in a particular city, and we were giving this pastor and his wife a ride to the conference. Well, I decided, man, did I get lost? And I was riding, and the pastor's wife said from the back, well, this is a nice ride, Ellie. I said, yeah. And I was trying to find a familiar landmark. When I saw this familiar landmark, we parked, and they said, oh, there was a nice ticket too early. My wife said, we got lost. I said, yeah. It's very difficult. Now, I passed the only turn off I know of. And I couldn't turn around and come back. It's a one-way going that way. Three lanes going that way. It's very difficult to take a turn off after you pass the turn off. So what happens when you marry the wrong person? John Wesley was a giant in the faith. His marriage was a disaster. The only reason he survived is because of his spiritual depth and spiritual capacity. Why did he marry that woman? Did he not have any spiritual sense? His brother advised him to marry her. So even spiritual people marry the wrong person. But what do you do when you marry the wrong person? You don't divorce. Because if your heart is submitted to God, God will use that person to fulfill His will in your life. They may be a thorn in the flesh, but Paul needed a thorn in the flesh so that he will not be arrogant, conceited, and lifted up. So when you say, I do, to the wrong person, the moment you say, I do, God will work to make that person the right person.